the show.
Hey everyone, we're back in the studio for another episode of The Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, and I am here with Sarah and Ted and Mott.
Hey, hi, Lisa.
Hi. Whoa, this is two roundtables now without the waters.
Where are the waters?
I don't know. You know, they're gearing up for a big birthday bash. We have to talk about that when the time comes, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're just
resting
for themselves,
up for it. Right?
Because they're like a day apart.
Right. I think Candace is going to crash next week.
Can we say how old they're turning?
The show.
Or is that...
I don't know. Can we?
Maybe not. Maybe.
No, we'll let them announce
okay.
it.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, yeah, I think they've announced it in the past, or I think they announce every year kind of their birthday stuff, but that's okay. Okay, well, speaking of birthdays and stuff that's coming up this season, we are heading into the summer, and we're going to talk about summer plans. I personally am very excited about mine, which is why I want to talk about them.
Lisa, let's just talk about your summer plans, because mine are lame.
What?
Maybe we could switch this around. We'll interview you. We'll
mine
be the hosts.
Are often... Okay, but, well, I've alluded to what I'm doing. Basically, at the end of this month, I am going to go to Europe for the first time in my life.
For a month. Right?
For about a month, yeah.
Wow.
Not only that, but I'm then coming back from Europe. I'm going to try to rest a day or two. Then I'm going camping. And then sometime in August, I'm going to go to Minnesota for a week. So I just looked and realized I had like 7-ish weeks of vacation. Or something.
Oh, yeah.
So I was
wow.
like, you know what? I'm just going to start using some of it. Yeah. I'm actually doing
My dad warned me against doing that kind of thing. Because like if your employer sees that they can like survive without you.
Oh,
it's a little scary.
You don't want to be gone too long.
Well,
the
mine probably can.
Will air,
so
though, so everybody will think she's
but
still
we
here.
Can't hear Lisa.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I'm going to have to give a little shout. I'm going to have to call in or something. Do something.
That'd be cool.
From three in the morning, whatever. So I'm starting out. I'm going to Norway. I have a family reunion in Norway. My mom is 100% Norwegian, and her dad came over from Norway. And we're going to be vacationing on an island off the southern tip of Norway, which is where her family settled. So that is going to be fun. That entire family are unbelievers, so that's going to be interesting. We've actually told them when they've come here to our reunions that we can't just sit around the pool topless and smoke. So whether or not they choose to do that there, I'm not sure, but I'm just prepared to take all that in.
Thank
that's
you for
be
that
good.
Imagery.
Exactly. So,
is your mom going too?
She is not.
Oh, wow.
Here's her deal. Okay, I'm very upset about this because she just thinks she's too old. And she is convinced that if she goes over there, she's going to have a heart attack and end up in a socialist medical system.
That is a legitimate concern, actually.
It might be. So she's not going, and it's very sad because she's never been. So we're going to have to definitely take a lot of photos. And
well,
let
I'm
live.
Sad because she could evangelize your family over there.
She totally could.
Oh, she's a
but maybe she will send some of her shirts with me, and I can do so. So we'll see how that plays out. But so we're doing that. We're also hoping to pop over into Sweden because my dad was 100% Swedish. So definitely some roots there. And then...
Wait, before you go on, what kind of foods are you looking forward to eating?
Like lutefisk? None, actually. I don't do seafood or I don't do any kind of fish.
Will you be fasting?
So I will be, in light of last week's roundtable, I'm planning to lose like 50 pounds when I'm over there. I'm hoping because I don't even know what I'm going to do. Even the foods that we eat at Christmas, which we force ourselves to eat just out of tradition, can't handle them. They're like nasty goat cheeses and weird fish and stuff. Can't even do it. Mm-mm. So that's going to be interesting. I'm going to just bring some power bars, I think, and try to soldier through. But yeah, so we're going to go into Sweden. This is my sister and I that are going, so this will be fun. And then we're going to fly over to London, and we are doing an 11-day tour of England and Scotland. So that'll be fun.
That's great.
And then we're coming back into London for 2.5 days about. And I have talked with, and I'll say this here because I'm hoping it's going to happen. I'll try to keep you posted. But one of the girls in London who's a big Boundless fan, hey, Michelle, wants to kind of maybe get together or something like that. And I thought, I've heard from some of you who are like in London, in England, basically mostly London. And if we can do something where we can get together one night, like at a hotel or a pub or something like that, and just shout out or whatever, give high fives, say hi. We'll
what about Wales? Are you going to make your way over to Wales?
I don't know. I can't
Welsh
remember.
Castles?
Maybe.
Now, will you be giving updates on Facebook or Twitter?
I'm
anything?
Hoping to. Yeah, if I can do that. Yeah. So I'm going to try to do that and post photos as I go along and stuff.
Cool.
So
that'll be neat.
Yeah. So very fun. And yeah, hopefully that will happen. So we're going, I know we're doing like, going over to Stratford-on-Avon. We're going to wherever Stonehenge. Obviously, I haven't researched this.
I think it's near Stonehenge.
Okay.
Are you
going to
go to
somewhere over there west?
St. Andrews?
Yes, I believe so.
That's
we're going
that's
up
great.
Through into Bath, and then we're going up into the Lake Country, and then we're going to Edinburgh, Glasgow, the Scottish Highlands, all of that, and back
down.
You could
skip Glasgow.
Wow. Okay.
Just saying.
I heard Edinburgh is really nice, though.
Yes,
some people told me
Edinburgh.
That. Okay. Edinburgh. Okay. So anyway, then a couple days in London, I've never seen, please people do not write to me about this and just blaze me away and be all crazy. I've never seen Les Mis. Okay.
I have on TV?
What? No, I've seen the movie.
The production.
I
the theater production. The movie.
Who has seen it? I mean, come on.
I did a book report on it, but I don't think I read the whole book.
Cliff notes.
So we're going to go see that at, I believe, the Queen's Theater, which is in London.
Wow,
so
that is
that'll
exciting.
Be fun. Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So that is that. And folks, if you have any tips for me, please email me, editor@boundless.org, or just find me on Facebook and let me know. Or if you want to meet up with us. So hopefully we'll get that to happen. But
great.
What do you guys have going on?
Well, I usually go on a family vacation every summer to Southern California, so
oh, nice.
We'll see if that happens this year. Last summer I went and I learned how to surf
nice.
On the Pacific Ocean.
Surfing
so,
is tough. What,
so it Southern is California, tough. Like where actually?
Oh,
so.
Orange County,
oh, yeah.
Monterey, Palm Springs.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, surfing was something that I had wanted to do for years. So finally last summer I'm like, I'm going to do it. And my disclaimer is that it is dangerous. Mm. So I suggest to anyone who wants to try, go with a trainer who will stick with you, who will look out for you, and if you can get a Christian trainer, that's even better, because it is dangerous, and pray about it.
why are Christians
only,
more qualified
because
to help you
plowed
surf.
To the bottom
only
of the
go,
beach
really, yeah.
You can quote scriptures.
I would say only go if you pray about it and you have peace. Well, I went through a Christian surfing school and my surf instructor, who
that's
was
cool.
a Christian, told me that some of the other surfing schools in California, he knows instructors who go out and who are stoned, so
oh,
that's why
okay.
I suggest going through a Christian surfing school.
Okay, hopefully the Christian ones aren't stoned.
They're stoned.
So they're not
Holy
trying
Spirit.
To do relationship evangelism.
So why do you go to Palm Springs in July?
Because they have better rates in the summer, and the mm-hmm. fireworks show at the 4th of July is just
that's,
a fun
oh,
event.
That,
it's kind of a tradition mm-hmm. okay, in
nice.
Our family.
It's so
great.
Hot, though.
That is very nice.
It is very hot, but it's a dry heat.
But if you're in the water,
it's like 120.
You're just surfing
Isn't
all day.
It, like,
it,
really
it can
really?
Get that. It's very hot, mm-hmm. but it's mm-hmm. beautiful. It's my mom loves Palm Springs.
It is beautiful.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love more
love
like
it,
by the beach,
it.
By the ocean.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's really fun. So, and you said you go with family or to visit family?
Yeah,
out
we
there?
Go as a family
okay.
out on vacation together.
Oh, nice.
So
that's
I'm hoping
cool.
to go surfing again.
Okay, so that is what the singles are doing. What are the two married dudes doing?
I am going to probably go up to, I think, Vail
mm-hmm.
for Oktoberfest. And the funny thing about Oktoberfest, it doesn't take place in October.
That's great,
it
Ed.
Takes place in September.
Yeah,
it's like,
that is...
it's like mm-hmm. ushering in October. So you're mm-hmm. festing October mm-hmm. ahead of the time. And they have food
okay.
like brats, and they have music, uh-huh. you know, people in funny... Lederhosen and mm-hmm. and so on, singing German songs. Mm-hmm. And
do you know how I know that? Do you know how I know that Oktoberfest can be celebrated in September?
No.
Because a guy that I dated wore lederhosen to church
mm-hmm,
one Sunday
that.
In
oh,
September.
Like the shorts or the long?
Yeah.
It was a full custom outfit.
I've got lederhosen.
That
I
was
wear those once
embroidered
in a while
for
at home.
Him.
So were you more attracted to
he
him?
He looked fantastic.
Or
it was. Let's just say that there were people over 70 and 75 who couldn't get enough of it and
oh,
had to talk to
sweet.
Him about it. And then he went into the whole history of like Queen Sophia and whoever, like what happened and why it was in September. So... And he had even had the cap with the little feather in it and all of that, and the knee highs. Whoa. There you go.
Just a heads up to folks in Colorado who might be wanting to go up into the mountains to take in an Oktoberfest. There are some little mountain towns where it's just drinking, and that's kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But Vail is really sweet because it's got the whole cultural aspect to it. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the rest? Are you doing your garden? What are you doing for the rest of the summer?
Oh, yeah. Got a
okay.
big garden.
Because you have like normal lives that you live during the summer.
Yeah.
Too.
You'll
yeah.
probably
all
be barbecuing
trips.
Some
barbecuing. Yeah. BDB mm-hmm. has inspired me to barbecue some steaks, get them at Costco for a good price.
That is great. You can also get them at the dollar store. I discovered that the other
no
day. Yeah.
Way.
They had
serious?
Like 3-ounce steaks for a dollar.
But not prime. I want prime.
Oh, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm spoiled.
They
now.
Were frozen.
Choice is only okay. Prime.
Okay.
So how about you, Mott?
Mott.
I have summer plans. Not very exciting, but part of it is I need to spend the entire summer landscaping my backyard. Mm. We bought a short sale last year on landscape yard, and that's going to be hard work. But, you know, it's good work. It's good to get your hands dirty and sweaty. And I am going somewhere. I'm taking my wife on our 12th anniversary, which
nice.
Is...
Congratulations.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we are going to Aspen for this, and actually in just a few weeks, to see Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, nice.
Maybe Harry Connick Jr.
It's actually a week or
a week
or
so away.
No. It's not a surprise.
You and Ted have very similar plans, doing lawn work and
the mountain
going
fest.
To the mountains.
But that's not all.
This is what happens when you get married.
But, you know, that's kind of nice. We're going to go for a night because we have six kids and it's hard to spread them out to friends and family who want to keep them. Mm-hmm. But we are going to do something with the kids. We're going to go to Denver for about 3 days and we're going to take in a Rockies Braves game. We're going to go to like the Six Flags or what didn't used to be Six Flags. It's now called Illich's
Illich Gardens. Yep.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. And do some other fun stuff like go to the aquarium. So it's going to be an all.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
totally. It's not all kids because I love baseball.
Totally. I was at the zoo on Saturday.
Which
and
one?
It was very stinky. The Denver Zoo.
Oh, okay.
Stinky. It was hot and very stinky. And I don't think they're not like really keeping it up, which didn't impress me.
Yeah. How do you, so it's not as good as
I
the
went there,
Colorado
there's
Springs?
There's a lot of like exhibits that were like shut down or just weird, like kind of just kind of
budget
messed
cuts?
Up. I don't know.
I went there a few months back. I thought it was pretty nice. I mean, of course, where there's going to be monkeys, there's going to be smells. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, there were smells throughout the entire place. Okay. But one thing I did learn, for those of you who are friends on Facebook, I posted this, but for the rest of you, polar bears only eat a seal's fat.
I thought that was so
disgusting.
Speaking
of fat, we're just talking about fat all the time. Polar bears only eat a seal's fat, and they leave the rest, the meat, to be scavenged by other animals.
That's generous.
That's sad.
But then it talked about
they're
like, they get their paws all greasy, and that grossed me out. So I'm like, so now they've got greasy paws and they've left a bloody carcass marring the landscape. It's just, it's weird. Hmm. That's weird to me.
Those polar bears are so selfish.
They are. So.
And I just heard, was it yesterday, that they can swim 1,000 miles?
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, like at a stretch.
I need to Google this because, okay, that's one thing. And then also I learned that their fur is translucent. And so certain cameras like don't even pick them up.
They're invisible.
It's kind of like that. Like they're invisible. But I didn't really know
scary.
The full facts. I was trying to share it with the people I was with and I got it messed up. So I'll have to go and figure out what the truth is on that. Anyway, so that's fascinating.
So do you want to get philosophical? Should we talk about like what the purpose of vacations is?
No.
To return home with new eyes? Chesterton
heard,
who said that or C.S. Lewis?
I actually heard a study that it helps families bond when they make that time to go on a trip together. It's a bonding experience that helps mm-hmm. keep them closer.
Sure, a shared experience in a new kind of environment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I heard for kids it has to be a chunk of time, so the 3-day thing is good. Like ideally, they say like most adults, when they talk about week-long family vacations, like from when they were really young, those made the biggest impression on them, even if they were super cheap and even if you didn't go far or do whatever.
Time is important.
So I remember that, the old Plymouth station wagon, with the homemade car top carrier. My dad did it, and we went across and just stayed in rest areas. Wow. There we go. And it wasn't even KOA campgrounds. Those were too expensive. We just, I don't know, camped on the side of the road or something, whatever.
Memories.
Yeah. Well, this will be fun. We'll have to all give reports, after our summers. I think I said this last year. I absolutely love summer. Memorial Day to like the end of June is my favorite time of the year because it's getting so light. This morning I was out running at 5 a.m. It was amazing. So I just love it. And I love being able to be out at night and like have all your windows down like in the car and just driving and it's warm and stuff like that. So love it. Write to us and tell us your favorite thing about summer, everyone. We don't care about the other seasons right now. Please tell us about summer and why you love it.
Except for the folks in the Southern Hemisphere. We love to hear your stories about winter.
Or summer. They have summers too. It's just not right now. That's true. Yeah. All of those folks. We love you too. We wish we could celebrate the seasons at the same time as you, but God did not have that in his plan. Maybe Sarah has a scripture for that from one of the surfers. Wow. Okay. That's it. Thanks, everyone.
I will. A little burn. I'm not sure.
Stay tuned. I'm going to be talking to you from Europe, everyone. I'm going to find a way to make this happen. So it's going to be exciting. And maybe I'll put one of my relatives on, though hopefully not topless. So, all right.
Time keeps moving on through the sunshine and the storm. And my dreams are set in stone. And someday I'll be who I wanna be. Before now, I'll wait for the sun to shine again.
Everyone, we have got another culture segment ready to go here, and I have got David Platt on the phone. David, welcome.
It's good to be here.
Hey, thanks for joining us from, how do you pronounce, is it Birmingham, or do they say like Birmingham, Alabama?
No, yeah, that would be the more English, England translation, but yeah, we're a full-fledged country, Birmingham.
Birmingham, okay. That's good to know. One of my former pastors ended up there. So maybe you've heard of him. I don't even know where he is. Maybe he's not in Birmingham. Whoa, sorry about that. Okay, he's down in the south somewhere.
Well, there you go.
I'm just going to tell you now I'm going to get criticism for that because people think I hate the south. And this time people do not write to me. I was just ignorant of it. So he went to some other city in the south. Okay. Well, anyway, we have got you here. You are a pastor at Brook Hills Church in Birmingham. You are also an author, and we're going to be talking about this book today. It's called Radical, and the subtitle on that is called Taking Back Your Faith from the American Dream. I just updated my Facebook status related to this, and I said I'm probably going to be, it's probably going to be something where I'll just flip out talking about this or something or be convicted or whatever, but that's good. That's probably the whole point of it. So I didn't, go and spend a bunch of money at Ann Taylor prior to this. So that's at least a consolation. Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit just about your kind of what you're doing in the church itself first, and then we'll talk about kind of why you decided to write this book and some of the themes behind it. It's interesting because as I skimmed through it and was looking at just really what you did write, it reminds me of a series that we have here at Focus on the Family, which I want to encourage people to check out. We have a series here called That the World May Know, and it's a bunch of faith lessons with a guy named Ray Vanderlaan, and he goes around to different biblical locations in the Middle East and beyond, and then draws faith lessons from them, from Scripture. And two of those sets, one of them is called In the Dust of the Rabbi, and the other one is called Walk as Jesus Walked, and amazing, amazing themes of discipleship and what it looked like to live a biblically modeled and a Christ-modeled discipleship pattern, really what it meant to walk with a rabbi as they did and become his disciple, and how that impacts us today. So anyway, I think that's going to be cool to hear your take on this. But tell us a little bit about Brook Hills and kind of how you got involved with the church, David.
Brook Hills is a church. We have about 4,000 folks on a Sunday that is nestled in a suburban community in Birmingham, Alabama, fairly well-to-do community. And I came here as pastor about 4 years ago. It's my first pastorate, and I'm in over my head and don't have a clue what I'm doing, and I'm learning a lot every day. And this is the people that are very gracious to learn alongside me and to walk through the Word with me. And really, what is written in the book is the overflow, no question, of what God has been doing in this faith family and in my life as pastor and in the life of this church over the last few years as we've been diving into Scripture and seeing, really looking at what does it mean to follow Jesus for who he is and not for who we have sometimes created him to be in our context and our culture.
Mm-hmm. And was this kind of like a, I mean, how did this play out as kind of a chicken egg thing? Because you obviously have a lot of experience with the worldwide church, and like we were talking before, you know, just themes of discipleship. So when you became a pastor, what was your vision of that, and has it changed? Or
that's a great question. When I came here to pastor, my wife and I have said, if there are 1.5 billion people plus in the world today who have little to no access to the gospel, then the only way we can stay here instead of living over there is if we're convinced we're doing more here to affect what's going on over there than if we were living there. And whenever that's not the case, we want to take a one-way ticket and be in the context of people who have little to no access to the gospel. And so when God led me, my wife and I, to this church, it was to shepherd this body with God's word on the mission of God. Yes, in Birmingham, we want to see people all over Birmingham come to Christ and people all over the United States come to Christ, but we also want to be a base for ministry that is mobilizing resources and where we are sacrificing our lives to take the gospel to peoples around the world, and particularly people who have never heard the gospel, that this is incumbent upon us. We have been given such grace, not only in the gospel, that first and foremost, but then in all the resources he's entrusted to us. So how can we use these resources to be a part of declaring the glory of God to the ends of the earth? And so that was the driving picture, even behind coming here to pastor, is how can I be a part of mobilizing this community of faith to impact nations for the glory of Christ? And a firm belief that this church, behind a global mission, under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, can shake nations for the glory of Christ, and we would be foolish to settle for anything less than exactly that.
Okay. So where did that passion come from? Because, I mean, I think we could all admit, even those listening here, that most people sitting in churches in suburbia don't often think of the churches in China or the Sudan or anywhere in Africa. We just don't care beyond the end of our street.
Hmm. You know, in my own life, I would say it's a product of two things, and I would say this is also transferred over to the church, but the Word and the world. Number one, the Word. I think when we really take an honest look at Scripture and take our cultural, even self-centered, many times, lenses off and see that God, from cover to cover in Scripture, is passionate about making his glory and his salvation known among all nations. And this is why he's created us. This is why he saved us. So to see that in the Word, and then in my own life, to go into context in the world, whether it is context where we have brothers and sisters in areas of Asia or North Africa or the Middle East, where it is very dangerous to be a follower of Christ, and to gather together with believers in locations where they're risking their lives to study God's Word and to share the gospel. So to go into context like that and to see the picture of New Testament faith being lived out in a way that is radically different than what we oftentimes see in our culture here, and then to go in the context in the world where people have never heard the gospel or never even heard the name of Jesus, to be in whether it's rural or some urban areas where there's no awareness at all of the gospel, no awareness at all of the name of Jesus, and to sort of come back to Birmingham and to realize my life here has to count for the sake of the spread of the gospel and the glory of God in all nations. It has to count in light of the word and in light of the picture of the world around me. And so that's been a process in my own life and then in the church as well. For us to walk through the word week after week after week and to see it all in the context of God's desire for his glory among all peoples, and then to go. We have around 1,000 of our folks each year that go into other contexts in the world, oftentimes on short-term stuff that turns into midterm and long-term stuff. But the more we expose our lives to see what God's doing around the world, to go into other contexts where our lives are stretched, our comfort levels are stretched, our perspectives are stretched, and to come back and say, okay, I cannot waste my life on anything less than making the glory of God known in the world that he's put me in. Now, how does that look? And how can I spend my life for that purpose?
Yeah. And I like what you said about the fact that, you know, you're actually doing this from Birmingham, because I think a lot of folks who are listening are just like, well, you know, I'm 25 years old. I'm trying to finish up a degree. I've got a part-time job, or I've got a full-time job, or I'm doing this or that. I'm trying to ultimately find a spouse. What does this actually look like for me practically? And I know you have some thoughts just on our culture in general, as far as affluence, sacrifice, engaging in the hurts of the world and what it looks like to address those in a gospel context. What would your kind of encouragement be for young adults, David, who are passionate about this and want to say, I want this to happen, but I'm sitting in an accounting firm and I don't know what that looks like for me?
That's a great question. And I think it's where the beauty of this whole picture just comes to the forefront, because, well, I think it starts first and foremost, and my encouragement would be to put a blank check on the table before the Lord. I mean, the reality is when we trust in Christ as our Savior, Lord, and King, then we have sacrificed the right to determine the direction of our lives. And so to put on a blank check on the table that even goes so far as to say, Lord, if it is not your will, your desire for me to have a husband or wife, if it is your desire for me to go into a context where I would not be able to go if I had a husband or wife, then I will do that. And that's obviously a huge step of surrender, but it is what the gospel requires of us. Or to say, if it is not your will for me to be in this context at all, where I'm safe and secure with a 401k and with a steady job and this or that in this context, you want me in some other context in the world, then I'll do that. To sort of start with a blank check, but then to realize, okay, from that point, the Lord will lead some to not have a husband or wife and go into some other context. The Lord will leave some to leave job here behind and go into another context. But the Lord will also lead some to stay right where they are and leverage where they are for the sake of the same purpose, the advancement of the gospel and the declaration of his glory to the ends of the earth. And that's the beautiful thing, even in the church that God's entrusted me to lead here, that to see businessmen and businesswomen, young and old alike, begin to say, okay, God has given me a good job. Are there ways that I could leverage my influence here to be a part of what God's doing around the world? Are there ways that I can leverage my influence in the business? Are there business world? Are there ways that I can leverage the resources he's given to me with a good paying job, not to use those resources for a better car or a bigger house or nicer clothes, but to say, okay, that's not what I'm living for. Instead, I can use these resources that he's entrusted to me to be a part of having an eternal impact in places around the world. And this is where when businessmen, businesswomen, stay-at-home moms, senior adults, college students, all across the board, when we all begin to see our lives in the context of God's global purpose, and we begin to say, all right, blank check with my life, all my resources, all my time, all my ambitions, how do you want my life to be used for the sake of the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth? Then that's going to look different in all of our lives. The question is that blank check on the table, and are we going to sacrifice our lives and our resources for what God has created us to do. And I say sacrifice. I even use that term a little bit lightly, because the reality is, in the end, this is no sacrifice at all. This is the purpose for which we were created. This is where we find our greatest delight, is in obeying the will of God. Even if it seems hard or seems like we're letting go, it's the whole picture we see throughout the Gospels, that we're really not sacrificing. We're entrusting our lives to the God who created us and who knows what is best for us. And we are leaving behind even worldly comforts or worldly dreams or worldly ambitions for something far, far greater in the purpose we've been created for by God. So that was a long answer to the question, but I think it starts with a blank check, with a surrender of our hearts and minds, and then looking at the gifts, skills, passions, resources that God has given us, and asking Him to lead us to use those wherever we are, whether it's here or in another context, to make His glory known in all nations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what that makes me naturally want to ask the question, what changes then have you seen in the people in your church as a result? Those who have really taken this to heart, those who've gotten into the Word and seen their role in this, and, you know, looking globally, looking eternally at this perspective, mm-hmm. what change has happened?
All kinds of exciting things. We've seen some people who have said, okay, I put a blank check on the table, and the Lord is leading me into a context somewhere else in the world. And so we've seen people sell their houses and move their families to other contexts in the world. So we've seen that happen. We've seen people say, okay, as I put a blank check on the table, He's not calling me to leave even Birmingham, but He is calling me to downsize my living arrangements here or this or that. I think about one brother in our faith family who's a doctor who had an extremely nice house and multiple cars, and he came to me one day and said, this is not the best use of my life in light of the purpose for which God has created me. And so he sold his house, sold his cars, and said, I'm going to use these monies. And he still has a house. He's living in another house now. But he said, I'm going to use all of this money for far better purposes than I was using them for before. Other people, we've got a lot of young couples in particular right now who have sold their homes and are moving into, focusing on a particular community in the inner city here in Birmingham that's more low-income, high-crime area. And so we've got families that are moving into that area to live out the gospel in that context. And then we've got, it's not just people who are selling their homes, all kinds of people that are making major adjustments in their lives financially, in the way they're spending their time, just looking at their resources and saying, okay, how does this look? We've got, with all these people going into other contexts in the world, and it changes your life, obviously, when you go into a context in the world where people are dying of starvation because their bodies are so malnourished, their brains so deformed because they don't have food or water. Now that'll change the way you look at your resources in Birmingham. And so leveraging businesses, there's so many different ways. And the exciting thing is there's no kind of check off the box, well, this is what everybody has to do. But as we seek the Lord and trust Him, ask Him to transform us from the inside out and do this, He'll do it. And the way it'll take shape in different people's lives, it's where it gets really, really exciting to see what God does.
Mm-hmm. And now, is this what you guys, or what you talk about in the book as being the radical experiment? Because you talk about that as a one-year journey kind of into discipleship, like what discipleship really looks like.
That's part of it. You know, a lot of this stuff was happening even before that. But then as part of crystallizing what we've been walking through in the Word, we challenged one another to what we call a radical experiment. That's what's in the back of the book. It's basically a challenge when it comes to our time in the Word, our time in prayer, our exposure to the needs in the world, our use of financial resources, our time. We challenge everybody in our faith family this year spend 2% of their time in some other context outside of Birmingham sharing the gospel, maybe here in North America, maybe somewhere internationally, and more will go internationally than North America, but at both end, but to go into another context and to let God transform our hearts through that kind of time, and then to do all of this in the context of the local church, that none of us are called to be renegade Lone Rangers and this picture taken on the world. But this is part of what God has created his body for. And so to do this in the context of biblical community and so to see all those things coming together, that's kind of what that challenge at the back of the book is, the radical experiment.
Yeah, you know, I was just flipping through that, and I think I'm definitely going to get some people together and do this, because first of all, this is going to, as I like to say on this show, blaze me away. I was just thinking, in fact, the other day, how there are definitely some things that I do in my week that I need to shake up and maybe try a few different things. Maybe, you know, there was a long time ago, 2 years ago or whatever, I gave up TV. And honestly, I don't even know how I fit TV into my life prior to that. I still spend way too much time on Facebook. Let's just be honest about that. But so if I cut out my Facebook time or cut it in half, maybe I could probably like witness to 25 people a week just off my Facebook time. Let's be honest. But looking at this and recognizing that there are some friends of mine that I think between, you know, the group of us, we could probably challenge one another with this. And, you know, we're in suburbia here too. And, but like you said, you know, having a mindset that is gospel centric and one that recognizes what God is doing around the world, as well as in our own community, is huge. And I know I've had a passion for getting to know some of my neighbors and doing some stuff more intentionally with them. And I think this might be a great place to start that. So what would you say, David? And I want to let people know they can find more info about the book at radicalthebook.com. And of course, you can find more info about David himself at brookhills.org. That's the church website. If you had access, David, to every Christian form of media or whatever, you could do billboards, you could be on Christian radio, you could just whatever, and you could just give like two or three bullet points of really what the church needs to do to wake up today and to really take the gospel, you know, say the Lord's going to return in a couple years here. And, you know, hopefully he is. Okay, I'm just saying. But what would you say is really your urgent message for the church today?
That's a great question. I would say, number one, to see Jesus for who he is in the Word, that we have this temptation to take the Jesus of the Bible and twist him into our image, into a nice middle-class American Jesus who looks like us and thinks like us, who doesn't mind materialism, who wants us simply to be comfortable in this world, a Jesus that doesn't want us to go to dangerous extremes, and for that matter, wants us to avoid danger altogether. The danger is we take Jesus and we twist him in our image, and then when we gather together in our churches, if we're not careful, even when we're singing our songs or lifting up our hands, we're not singing and lifting up our hands to Jesus. We're singing and lifting up our hands to ourselves, and we're worshiping ourselves. So I would say, first and foremost, just to see Jesus in the Word for who he is, to listen to his words. And they are firm words. They are gracious, they are loving, and they are costly, and they are heavy in some senses. They're heavy in the sense they're calling us, he's calling us to let go of the things of this world, but they're light in the sense that he is saying, I will be your satisfaction and your joy. So, number one, to see Jesus in the Word, and then second, to see the needs in the world. The reality that, there's 6.8 billion people in the world today, and the most liberal estimate would put that at about one-third, put the world at about one-third Christian. And that's people who in many contexts claim to be Christian. It's more of a social or political identification. But even if all of those people were Christians, then that still leaves over 4.5 billion people in the world today who are without Christ and on a road that leads to a Christless eternity. And that's spiritual need, 4.5 billion on top of physical need, the reality that over 26,000 kids will die today of either starvation or a preventable disease. So to see the needs in the world, see Jesus in the Word, that open our eyes to the needs in the world. And the danger is, if we're not careful, we can go through our Christian lives and never really look honestly at Jesus in the Word and turn a deaf ear to the needs in the world. And so to make sure to do those two things, and then to decide, my life is intended to count for the spread of the glory of Christ amidst the needs of the world. So to put those two together and to really ask the question, how can my life best be spent however God designs in his infinite wisdom and his infinite faithfulness and trustworthiness with my life? How can it be spent for the spread of the gospel and the glory of Christ in the needs in the world that are surrounding me today? And when we give ourselves to that, I think we will find that Jesus is worth radical abandonment and radical sacrifice, and we'll spend our lives here in a way that will affect not just the next 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, but literally all of eternity.
Hmm. That's true, folks. Yeah, definitely. And I think, too, getting our, well, like kind of what you just said, getting our eyes off of ourselves and our just lame stories, and because they're not, they're so irrelevant, you know, in and of themselves. But when we realize that we are part of a global church and an eternal church, you know, those who have gone before us, and ultimately, you know, to see the glory of God in what he is accomplishing and what we will ultimately see when we're with him. I think that's huge. Getting beyond that, seeing the larger picture. So, well, David, this has been fabulous. And like I said, I'm going to have to read the full book and get back to you. Again, the book is Radical: Taking Back Your Faith from the American Dream. Find out more about it at radicalthebook.com. I had a couple people already comment on my Facebook who said that their pastor, like one said her pastor quoted the book last week, and so now she has to read it. The other one said you spoke at her missions conference. So I think folks are kind of getting wind of it. So hopefully we will all read it and start applying it and read the scriptures. Oh, my goodness, yeah. People. Like David said, get to know Jesus Christ and his heart for individuals and for the nations. So, David, thank you so much for joining us on The Boundless Show. Hopefully we'll hear more from you in the future and that folks can find out about you. Now, if you're in Birmingham, you can visit his church, but don't just all flock to his church and think you have to join it, whatever. Get these started in your own community.
That's great.
So, thank
good
you.
Word.
Exactly. Thanks so much, and you have a great day.
Thanks. It's like you gotta walk like him, gotta talk like her, gotta be like them. Everybody knows you follow the crowd or get singled out. But God says who you are, not the world or movie stars. Don't you know he holds the answers in his hands? We're stuck in a system. Is there anybody different? Is anybody listening? Is anybody listening? Everyone has their own sound. Let it out now. Let it out now. There's nothing wrong with living loud. Let it out now. Let it out now. I'm drawing the line between being them or being to call myself one of yours, Lord. But it's a narrow path. I gotta break from the pack. No turning back. No turning back. We're stuck in a system. Is anybody different? Is anybody listening? Is anybody listening? Everyone has their own. Passion.
Well, hey, everyone. We're opening up this week's inbox, and I have Candace on the phone. Hey, Candace.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Well, hey, this is going to be total child's play for you because we're just doing one question this week. You don't have to do 30-some.
Ooh, okay. Good thing.
So we'll see how we do. But she did write a lot, so I'm going to try to summarize a little bit here what she's talking about. This is a female listener, and she says she's basically talking about improving her relationship with her parents. She says, this is going to be the last summer I will live at home with my parents for the rest of my life. And she probably won't be spending, you know, more than a period of a week to 2 weeks at a time from this point on. And she said, I really feel that this summer is to be spent improving my relationship with my parents. She goes on to describe it and says, basically, her mom's always been kind of argumentative and difficult to get along with, and her dad's been busy and distant. And so she's like, how do I go about approaching a relationship with them, fostering a relationship, especially when there's so much history that is negative? She said, literally, I was kind of amazed by this. She said, I can't remember having spent more than 15 minutes in one-on-one quality time with my father in my entire life.
Yeah, and isn't she sort of focusing on the dad because she has a strategy for improving her relationship with her mom?
She does, yeah. She said she thinks she knows, you know, how to go about it with her mom. But yeah, she says her dad, she's just at a loss.
Well, and I think that's not surprising because your mom is a woman, and so you think like a woman and you can relate to her as a woman. So you already have a running start with that one. I think you're right, it is trickier with dad, with dads in general, because they're men. I love your heart that you want to build your relationship with your dad, and I think it's a wonderful goal. And I would just encourage you to start by thinking of things you can do that are side-by-side activities with him. Emerson Eggerich, a marriage author and speaker, talks about how women like to do face-to-face activities where they're relating with one another. But men like to do side-by-side activities where they're busy alongside one another. And it sounds like the best place to start might be to just say, Dad, can I work with you around the house on Saturday? She mentioned that he likes to be busy working on house projects. You know, there may not be a bunch of conversation, especially the first or second time, but just being there alongside him and entering into some of the things he likes to do for rest and relaxation, you know, looking for hobbies that you can do alongside with him, I think you'll be surprised at how much he sees that as an investment in the relationship. So I would recommend starting there. Also, don't underestimate the power of prayer. You know, you are a believer, so go to your Heavenly Father and pour out your heart to Him and let Him know how much you long to have a relationship with your earthly Father and ask Him to get involved. Ask Him to manifest His power in your relationship with your dad and just stand back in prayer and watch what God might do. The third thing I would say is lower your expectations. You know, don't see this as the end-all, be-all, you know, first, middle, and last opportunity to finally have a relationship with your dad and have such a huge expectation for what this summer might yield. Because I think if you can back that down a little bit to just something as simple as, I'd like to be able to have a conversation with my dad. You know, what would be sort of baby steps 1 and 2 and 3? And shoot for those over the summer rather than, you know, this transformation where suddenly we're best friends and we're, you know, on Facebook together or whatever. And then, and also, I think that you may find that once you leave home, maybe just that change will open up new opportunities to grow in friendship that you didn't have before, be it writing letters to him or calling him when you're not seeing him all the time. I wouldn't get so caught up in the idea that this is your last opportunity, that this summer is your final shot at a relationship with your dad. Take that pressure back a little bit and look at it as just one more life opportunity, one more chance to be with him and to spend time with him and to invest in him and just be kind to him and respect him and make the best effort you can and you be faithful and then you can go to the Lord and trust him to do the rest.
Yeah, and I think obviously speaking to her here, you are entering a season of life that is going to have a lot of transition. Obviously, you know, you're leaving the nest, and this is kind of why this has come to a crux. But dads love to have the opportunity to speak into situations like that, especially when there's something practical to offer, or especially when there's just some advice to be given, or just to know that their opinion matters, or that their, you know, knowledge about something matters. I mean, my dad always kind of lit up when I was just like, Dad, I, you know, have something stuck, the window's stuck, or something in the house, or apartment doesn't work, or whatever.
A problem to fix.
Exactly, a problem to fix. It's something that they can kind of get their minds around, rather than sitting down and being like, so Dad, tell me about your feelings, and what, you know, the past 24 years of my life and what, you know, whatever. And he'll just completely like be comatose by the right. end of that. But I think that's important. And just recognizing kind of like what you said, Candace, that there's plenty of time still for investment and plenty of time to, you know, take back what I guess what would be considered ashes in some sense or feeling mm-hmm. like it was lost time.
Yeah.
In the sense, I think I just watched the other night again, Walk the Line, the story of Johnny Cash. And, you know, here he had a father who was an alcoholic and basically just berated him his entire life. And Johnny Cash used the relationship with his kids and their grandpa, you know, to reintroduce his father to his children now and mm-hmm. use that as a bridge. And I think there are little touch points like that that can be used as well.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Candace. Folks, we want you to write to us. Thanks for being so open, everyone, and really sharing. I mean, there are a lot of questions we get that are born out of hurt and frustration. And, you know, you can hear that, I think, in a lot of these. And so I just want to thank this listener for doing that and for being so honest. So everyone else, write to us, editor@boundless.org, so we can answer your questions as well. And certainly, Candace, we love having you weigh in on them.
Thanks, Lisa.
All right, that is it for this week's show, everyone. As always, we love having you as part of our listening audience here at Boundless. And now viewing audience, now that we've done our first ever webcast, you can still catch that online. So just go to boundless.org and find the link for that or one of the posts where it was linked to. And keep writing to us, keep talking to us. We love hearing from you. So we are heading into the summer here, and we are heading into a bunch of new topics that we'll be addressing here. So obviously, we want you to be part of that discussion as well. So that is it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org, focused on the family.